Hi, so I'm Olivia and I'm backstage at the Assembly in Leamington with J&T from Jungle. First up, guys, just sort of tell us, how's the tour going?
It's been going really well so far. Like, it's always nice touring the UK. You get a chance to see friends that you haven't seen for a while who live in different cities and get to come to towns where your mum went to school, like Leamington Spa.
Oh, very nice.
So yeah, it's been really good.
That's cool. And I was just wondering as well, what kind of genre would you describe yourselves as? Because there's been so many different ones. It's kind of like soul, electronic. So how would you place it?
I don't know. I don't think we would place it anywhere. I think that we try to just like make music and make music that we think is kind of fun and good and stuff that we enjoy. I think if you try and put things into genres or brackets before you've made it, you know, you're creating a box for yourself that you might not be able to get out of. So, you know, we just see ourselves as kind of making sounds and putting them together into sort of songs.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, you have obviously a very distinct sound. Like, I was listening to your remix of Shura's Indecision, and just kind of in the first few beats, you can hear it's Jungle. And I was wondering, like, with your sort of future music, are you going to sort of carry on with that funk element, or as you say, does it just sort of whatever happens, whatever you're feeling?
Yeah, I think you just got to
just feel whatever feels right. I think that's what we go on, you know. Does it feel right? Does it make us feel good? Music is music at the end of the day, and, you know, it doesn't really matter what it is as long as it sounds good to the people who are making it, and hopefully that, you know, people who listen to it will and like it too.
Yeah. And I was also watching an interview you did on KEXP in Seattle, and you were talking a little bit about your like approach to music and sort of how you think of it with like terms of characters. I was just wondering, what can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, the character sort of based thing is something that allows us to get into a space where, you know, you're not just yourself. You go into sort of film in your head, really, and in sort of science fiction, I suppose, it's like you can do anything you want. And it was all about that, you know, for us. A lot, we see a lot of places, and we start to try and create environments which the songs can live in, whether that's, you know, if you think about the heat, it's for us, you know, it's like a beach, you know, and we kind of, or like a flat off a beach, and it's kind of like a mix between Miami, Copacabana and Venice Beach, you know, places that we didn't really have a chance to go to until recently, and they were sort of, you know, quite romantic and iconic in our heads, and you build these pictures, but they're sort of warped through, you know, how they're presented in films and books and other music, I suppose, and you sort to create an environment, you know, like create stuff that's like from a bedroom in Shepherd's Bush is like, I don't know, it just seems a bit more normal for us, so we kind of try and create things that are, you know, inspiring for us.
I mean, I also kind of think your music seems to be a whole sort of like sensory experience, like the visual and everything. Is that quite important to you, the sort of visual aspects in the music videos?
Yeah, I think they were kind of born out of the same thing, and they kind of grew up together in terms of when we, as soon as we had like Platoon finished, we wanted to make a video for it, and then that kind of the creative decisions you make then kind of influence how you want to sort of like theme everything else that you do visually and sonically. And so I think we were quite keen to let them, like, not necessarily let the music dictate what the visuals were going to be like, or the other way around, but just kind of let them kind of organically like grow together.
Yeah. Because the music videos are obviously very distinctive. They're great. I absolutely love them. And it's all kind of dancing, isn't it? So it's just sort of, it's quite, I guess, natural reaction to music, really, isn't it? So was that kind of your idea? Did you have a lot of involvement in the videos? Did you always have this kind of vision?
I mean, as T said, you know, the ideas for the videos almost come before the songs were even finished. Mm-hmm. And they sort of inspire the finishing of the song. I mean, they're not like directly, it's not like, okay, we're going to put a dancer in a space. It'd be, for example, if you look at the heat with the two roller skaters, like the end room and the end shot of that is, it's for us, that's like a place, you know, it's like a flat that's on, you know, the strip, which is like, you know, part of the beach, and they've been skating near the beach, and then they come back and they sit in their flat, and you know, it's quite bonkers. Obviously we don't have the budgets to sort of film everything on beaches in exotic locations, but it's sort of the kind of illusion of that, and I think that it's about creating that sort of space and that scenario and that setting which the songs can live in. But they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. Because I think sometimes actually simpler is better in a way. Like, a lot of music videos are so much money goes into them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're better, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think some people, when they're making videos and music, are scared that people's attention spans are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I actually think it's the opposite. I think if you actually give something to somebody that they can digest fully and like understand, then they'll naturally like be drawn towards it much easier.
Yeah. And also, as you kind of mentioned, you did a lot of like the recording like in your bedrooms, is that right? Did you kind of know when you're in that space that the song is a hit, if that makes sense?
No, not at all. I don't think you can think about it like that. And I think that it's, it starts to cloud your mind and your judgment of what why you're making the music. You know, you have to make the music on a level of like, I'm enjoying making this, and I'm enjoying...
With every song on the record, there's been a point where like we've been either like surprised or like exceedingly happy with like what we've come up with, or like, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate into the real world, you know, like something that sounds great to us might sound absolutely dreadful to 6 billion other people, you know.
I think that the idea is, you know, and that's why it's done in rooms and done in places which are yours, you know, your own spaces, you know, sort of big studios and all that sort of stuff. It puts a pressure on making stuff, you know. Some of these songs can take, you know, months and months of crafting, depending on like little details, and it's good to be able to go to that at any place. And I think you know, being able to do it at home and do it in your own space, which a lot of people are doing now. We're sort of in this world where sort of the electronic music revolution, where, you know, Apple have made it easier and easier for anyone to produce and record music, and it's a great thing because, you know, it's just a way, you know, programs and electronic capturing of music, it's just, it's just a way of recording ideas, you know. It's like a, it's like an iPad, you know. You just, it's just a place to write something down. It doesn't, they don't make the ideas for you. They don't come up with a thing. It's just a great tool to record them with.
Yeah, and I guess it's quite nice as well, because some artists with certain labels, they do feel a pressure. They have to have an album out in a certain amount of time, and it's not quite maybe as artistically free, I guess, in a way. So
the only pressure we really put, what we had put on us, was by ourselves. I think we were quite keen to just keep the momentum up and like just get an album out, because we wanted to start touring, and we wanted to start kind of letting people hear what we'd done, rather than like strategizing too much about it and like, you know, waiting for the right time in inverted commas. Like we released an album on like Bastille Day in France, and like
they were on holiday
like literally France goes on holiday from July the 14th until the 1st of September, so like everyone in France was like, you can't release the album now. We're like, well, like,
what can we do?
Let's just do it.
And talking about the live performances as well, obviously your kind of music is, it's interesting to see how it translates to like the live sphere, and you could just sort of be there with laptops, but you've chosen to have like a whole band and everything. Was that really important for you that you did that?
Yeah, I think so. It's something that we love, and live music is live music, and studio music is studio music, and, you know, I think we're big believers of you know, people pay to see a live show, you have to give them a live show. And obviously, some, you know, there's an argument for and against sort of the way that electronic music, and obviously there's a massive discussion about massive DJs just turning up and pressing play and getting paid more than anyone would ever. I suppose that for us, it's just about the energy, and it's about the connection with the crowd in that sense of way of just playing things live, and it develops, and it, you know, has its own path every night, and things change. You know, if you listen to the record, and when we play it live, I go back and I listen to the recording occasionally, and it's completely different. You know, you're like, oh, okay, we've been playing that different or wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, because you played Glastonbury last year, didn't you? And I'm guessing you're doing more festivals and stuff this year. How's like a festival different to just doing your tour? Is it a very different atmosphere?
It is very different. I think the wonderful thing about festivals is you're like surrounded by other artists, and you kind of get, because when you're on tour and with your on your own, it's just like a bubble. That's just like the kind of the 14 people that you see every day. But also, it's generally much more, it's like, I don't know, it's weird, because there are the majority of the people in a festival don't really know who you are, and they're there like through like hearsay or word of mouth, or like they might have heard one song, whereas, you know, you've got, you can play like album tracks in venues that you've like sold out yourself, and people will like sing them back to you, whereas like you've got to kind of keep festival crowds excited. And
yeah, it's almost in a way like you have to convince them. I think some people feel like that.
Yeah,
in
like
a way
it is a little bit of a showcase in a way, when, especially when you're a young artist and you've really got to like get on stage and catch people's attention. I think it's really important.
Yeah, so this is the kind of boring question, but what's kind of happening next for you? Obviously you've got the rest of the tour. Are you playing like writing new music, or?
Yeah, I mean, we're sort of always playing stuff and making stuff. I think that for us next, it's about touring more and playing the festivals, and, you know, they go hand in hand, playing live and playing music. I think with your first album, you've got your whole life to write it, you know, and the second one, you've probably got a lot less of a time, so it's a bit more of a okay, let's get down and do it. But I think we'll probably stop touring eventually and get back in the studio.
some point in the near future. No, we're going to, like, we've got a pretty busy summer.
Yeah.
And then hopefully another little US tour in September. But
cool. Brilliant. Well, best of luck with the rest of the tour, and thank you very much for talking to us.